Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Dan Rosen from NHL.com. Dan, what's going on? I saw you on TV the other day. You're looking sharp. What's happening, brother?
How are you guys? Everything's good? Yeah, no, I know you saw me. You sent me a picture of it. You know, it's just that dynamic presence. That's what I wrote back to you.
Really is.
On TV.
Really?
I'm just kidding. No, everything's good. You know, we got game 3, 2-0 Tampa Bay. Not surprised by it at all. And here we go. A couple more games left in this season.
Here we go. A couple more left in this Stanley Cup final. We'll get to the final a little bit more in detail coming up here in just a few minutes. Dan, I do want to get your thoughts initially to the trade of Victor Arvidsson from the Predators to the LA Kings. Predators get back a second rounder this year, a third rounder next year. Just your reaction to that trade. What did you think of the trade from the Predators' point of view?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, you look at where Nashville, I kind of agree with where David Poile was going with this. You look at where Nashville was, say, 3, 4, 5 years ago. You look at where they are now. 3, 4, 5 years ago, they were a Stanley Cup contender, and now they're a playoff contender. And there's a big difference, right? You know, in one case, you can go out and really believe when you go into the playoffs that you got a shot to win the Stanley Cup. In the other case, you're just trying to get into the playoffs. And, yeah, if you get into the playoffs, look at Montreal. They're case in point, right? But you got to be clicking at that point, too. And I just look at the Predators and I say, where are they going? You know, with the core that they had, where is it going? And to me, it wasn't going very far. So Arvidsson, you know, you shave about $4.5 million or so off your cap, you get back a couple of picks, and now you can use that $4.5 million or so, whatever his cap is, it was in that neighborhood, to re-energize the group with somebody different. You know, it's not like Victor Arvidsson's a bad player. By any stretch, he's not. He's an aggressive and energetic goal-scoring type of player. But it's just a bit of a change, you know, a bit of a 90-degree turn, say, and just say, all right, we got to go in a different direction here, and let's see if we can plug this, use this money that we have available now to find something different, and maybe that's the key for our team right now. So I that's kind of my take on it from the Predators' perspective, because getting back draft picks, you're not getting back anybody that's going to help your team right now or probably in the next 2 or 3 years, but you're getting the cap space that allows you to just go in a different direction.
Of course, we've also speculated today, Dan, that, you know, more draft capital now. Maybe as you have discussions, you know, with the Kraken, with the expansion draft coming up, you could swing something because, of course, I think the Preds, if they could unload a Ryan Johansson or a Matt Duchene, I think they would be interested in that. Do you think that there would be interest on the other end of that?
Well, I don't know why there wouldn't be. I mean, both of those are good players, you know. You know, that's the thing. And that's my point with where Nashville is right now with the core that they've had, is it just wasn't connecting. That's not to say that Ryan Johansson's not a good player and Matt Duchene's not a good player on their own. They are very good players. And I think there could be and probably should be interest on, you know, on especially the Kraken side, but in a lot of teams' perspectives, you know, on those types of players. So I do think so. I think it's another thing you're looking at there. But I don't look at David Poile and say to myself, he's going into a rebuild here and just trying to get draft picks and all that stuff. I think he wants to use the capital that he's gaining and the cap that he's gaining to retool this thing to so it spins forward pretty quickly.
Dan, obviously a lot of interest here locally in Nashville to this Stanley Cup final with Shea Weber being involved with the Montreal Canadiens. But as you said, Tampa Bay up 2-0. They just look like an absolute machine that they've looked like for the last 2-3 years. What have you made of this series so far, and is there any way, in your opinion, Montreal can climb back in this thing now with Game 3 coming up at home?
Look, I think Montreal can win Game 3. If they play the way they did in Game 2, they can win Game 3, and they, you know, it's a home game for them. I know there's only 3,500 in the stands, but, you know, it's a home game. It's different. They got the last change. They can get the Philip Dano line out against Braden Point's line. There's a lot of different things they can do. But can they beat Tampa Bay 4 out of 5? I mean, I don't see that.
It's tough.
Tampa Bay hasn't lost back-to-back in the playoffs in 2 years. Like, I just don't see how Montreal can beat them. That's why they needed, absolutely needed a split. And they played a really strong game. Was that their best game, Montreal? It might be. You know, their game that they played in game two was really good. They made two or three mistakes, and they ended up in the back of their net. And that was it. You know, I mean, that was the case right there. They outplayed the Lightning in that game, and they couldn't come away with a win. That's got to be demoralizing. That goal by Blake Coleman is a devastating goal for the Montreal Canadiens. It's just a crushing goal. It was a great goal for the Lightning.
How many times is he going to do that, by the way? Is he just going to start diving all the time, scoring goals from every different angle?
I love how he said after the game, like, you never really want to dive on the ice. Yeah, you do if your stick's out and you're poking the puck in the net. That's fine. You know? But no, you know what? I mean, that ended the worst period I'd seen Tampa Bay play in a very long time, and I've covered them throughout the entire playoffs, and they still end up 2-1. To me, that just says a lot about where this team is and the way they're going right now. And I don't see Montreal winning 4 out of 5 in this series. I just can't see it. Tampa Bay, what they do, everything that Tampa Bay does, let me say this, all the advantages that Montreal had in the first three rounds, Tampa Bay is better at.
So, Dan, if this goes as expected here and ends up as – and I guess what we can all expect, Vasilevskiy is going to get a shutout, right, in the decisive game.
Apparently, but, that's the trend.
That's what he does.
That's the way it goes, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, where's the discussion around this team in terms of, you know, relative to some of the other great teams we've seen, you know, in modern history in the NHL?
Well, the discussion to me is ongoing because – the core is still in place. Nobody's going anywhere. They have a cap situation that they're going to have to deal with in the offseason because obviously we know about how Kucherov was on LTIR all year. So there is something that's going – it's not going to be the same group returning, but the core is not going anywhere. Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman, Vasilevsky, McDonough, you know, Point. These guys, Killorn – it's ongoing, and the way I felt about the Pittsburgh Penguins after they won their back-to-back, right? You know, it was an ongoing discussion because they had a lot of the same pieces. And now, you know, we're talking now 4 years later from that, and it's not the same, obviously, for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They still have Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, but everything else around them is pretty much different, except for maybe a few other pieces. So we'll see where it goes, but back-to-back, you're in the discussion now of a dynasty. And let's see where it goes from here. But it's an ongoing discussion. We'll see what Tampa Bay, if they end up winning this, can they win 3 in a row? I mean, we'll see what roster they return. But wouldn't they be a favorite if you look at them on paper right now?
You would think so. Absolutely. Dan Rosen from NHL.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Dan, we had somebody throw this question out to us the other day, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Shea Weber, obviously he's going to be 36 in August. So – he's been in the league a long time, 16 years. Obviously been a great player both in Nashville and Montreal as well. This is his first trip to the Stanley Cup Final. He has not won a Norris Trophy, but a lot of the numbers are there. Is Shea Weber a Hall of Famer in your mind?
Shea Weber is probably a Hall of Famer, but he's not a Hall. I don't think he gets in on the first year. He may not get in on the second year either. He's been a terrific defenseman in the National Hockey League. Big, strong, so well respected in the NHL. But if you look at the guys who are, you know, in the Hall of Fame, a lot of them have either A, won the cup, or A and B, won an award, you know, and won the, you know, especially the, you know, the Norris. And, you know, he's kind of been, you know, he just hasn't had that opportunity. He just hasn't done it, you know, and there's always been somebody a little bit better than him each season to win the Norris Trophy. And that's not to say in one of these seasons he couldn't have done it, but he just didn't. So I think eventually, out of the respect that he has around the league and from people all over, eventually he gets in, especially also with his international stuff. I mean, you know, he's a two-time gold medal winner on the Olympic stage. Probably gets in, but I wouldn't expect it on the first round of voting for him, and maybe not on the second round of voting either.
Dan, at the risk of sounding like quite a homer here, how the heck did the GMs have UC Saros 6 for the Vezina?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't look at the voting total all the way through, but he was awesome. I mean, that's a great question. And that also might have to do a little bit with name recognition, right? You know, like, the team was fourth, kind of got in, but a little bit barely. He's not Pekka-Rinne in terms of name recognition. I don't know. There's no real explanation for that for me. I mean, I thought he would be a finalist. If he wasn't a finalist, I thought he was fourth.
Dan Rosen from NHL.com has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexard. You can check out his great coverage of the Stanley Cup Final at NHL.com. You can also catch him on the NHL Network as well. Dan, appreciate your time to join us this morning, brother.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Dan Rosen from NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexard. That's been the general reaction. A lot of perplexed looks about how UC Saros finishes sixth in the Vezina Trophy voting. Pretty much across the board. Makes you wonder what the NHL GMs are doing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any GM this summer who's going to like lose sleep over being terrible at voting for that award. But they also probably wouldn't lose sleep if they didn't vote. So maybe that should happen for them.
Had someone on Periscope say Shea Weber is a first ballot Hall of Famer. What are you talking about?
Well, it is funny how like just having the Norris on the resume would strengthen it. It would.
Well, and that goes
he's
back
been so
to,
close. I mean, he's right there many years.
Well, that goes back to something that if you've watched the Predators,
I know what
you're
going to bring up. I know what you're going to bring
up. People the wrong way because he got absolutely gypped by Nick Lidstrom one year in the Career Achievement Award they gave Nick Lidstrom at the end of that year.
The perfect human. Come
the
on,
perfect
what do you
human.
Want,
he's a great player. Shea Weber should have won the Norris that year. You can make an argument he got gypped another year as well. But he's been right there. You're right. He's never won the Norris. Like, at this point, he's not going to win the Norris. He's going to be 36. So, like, unless he just out of nowhere has another dominant season offensively, you know what he is defensively. He's always going to be good. He's physical. He's a great player. He's still a really, really good player. But, I think Shea Weber's a Hall of Famer, but I agree with Dan. I don't think it's going to be right off the bat or anything like that.
How about another gold medal? It'd be nice to see him have that opportunity.
I wonder if he'd make the team now.
Maybe not. They've got guys.
At that time, he'd be 37. I don't know.
He'd probably make it, right?
I don't know. They got some guys on defense
some
in Canada.
Guys. Yeah, they got guys.
We'll see. See what happens on that front. We'll continue the discussion on the Predators when we come back, including some interesting reactions yesterday for some players on the roster to the trade of Victor Arvidsson. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.